Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:25 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 19th. Well, today was another positive day on stock markets. Starting off in Asia, the Shanghai A-share market recouped the vast majority of yesterday's loss, so it's held on to the 4% gain it put in on Wednesday. It was a positive day in Japan. The market was up by 1%. The Hang Seng and the H-share index were both up in excess of 1%. The H-shares are pushing back up into the overhead range. That's a characteristic we're seeing with an increasing number of stock market indices in this environment. Towards the end of last year, a big question was being asked as to whether we were going to see these 2 and 3 month uptrends pushing on and pushing through the 200-day MA, pushing back up into the overhead ranges, and in some cases even reasserting and pushing onto new high ground. That question is increasingly being answered. So today was a positive day across most of Asia. India is also worthy of mention. The market has been trending lower for over a year. It was really quite overextended to the downside 3 weeks ago. It's at least unwinding that short-term oversold condition. It's pushing back up towards the 200-day MA. It's testing the progression of lower rally highs. This time it's a little different because over the last 6 months we've had a marked deterioration in the rupee. The rupee looks like it's hit a medium-term low. It's rallied impressively over the last 2 weeks. It's probably due a little bit of a respite in here, and it needs to build support above the previous low around the 54 rupee area. But it is encouraging. This is by far the largest rally for the rupee we've seen in quite some time, and that should help to bolster confidence, particularly from international investors who have been deserting the Indian market. India has had this problem with governance, with corruption, with an inability to get just about anything done in terms of the bureaucracy. And then it had that really quite disappointing policy flip-flop on allowing international retailers access to the market. So there has been a lot going wrong with the country. On the other hand, they've just announced that they're going to spend $35 billion on infrastructure projects and on attempting to acquire the commodities needed to fuel economic growth beyond the short to medium term. So that is really quite positive news. Elsewhere in the Asian region, the Philippines, which has been the leading market in here, has held on to its gains. I think it was a little bit in additional positive territory in here. The South African market continued to push ahead. The Mexican market had an incredible upward dynamic yesterday, and it improved on that performance. It was up another additional 0.41% in here today. So we're seeing an increasing number of markets breaking medium-term downtrends. That's particularly the case in Latin America, where we've had a number of these markets have been trending lower for a considerable period of time, particularly Colombia. And Colombia has now broken its 18-month downtrend. So, and that's another country where the currency had weakened really quite considerably against the US dollar, but has strengthened considerably in the last couple of weeks. So, something that has been evident in emerging markets for at least the last 6 or 7 years is that when the currency and the stock market begin to go in the same direction, that the currency is often a lead indicator. And we can look at the performance of various currencies versus the US dollar in some of those emerging markets as a bellwether for the confidence of international investors. Particularly as the US dollar has been the carry trade currency of choice for a while, and it has had an inverse correlation with risk appetite. So with the US dollar starting to weaken in here and some of these emerging market currencies really beginning to get really quite strong, that's quite positive from the perspective of stock market investors. They're going to get the additional bump of the positive currency moves as well as the capital gain on the stock market indices. That's definitely been the pattern for a number of years now. In Europe today, The Spanish and Italian markets were both up in excess of 2%. The French market was up almost 2%. The FTSE was up 0.2%. It's been consolidating here in the region of 5,700 for the last couple of weeks. It's up at the upper side of that now, and it is looking more likely than not that it's going to be able to sustain an upward break. Again, we're seeing a number of these markets getting back up towards their 200-day moving averages and increasingly looking like they're going to be able to sustain moves above them. Breaks in the progression of higher reaction lows over the last 3 months would really be required to question that cyclical bullish hypothesis. When we look at the into the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up about 0.3%, the S&P up 0.5%, the Nasdaq Composite up 0.2%. So they're continuing to improve on their recent performance. Now, we've had a good rally over the last 2 weeks, so these markets are a little bit overbought in the very short term, particularly those that are testing potential areas of resistance. The Nasdaq, for example, the Nasdaq 100 is above the 2400 level. It's testing the upper side of its range. A little bit of a pause in consolidation in this region wouldn't be at all surprising. In the latter half of last year, we spent a good deal of time pointing out the outperformance of consumer-related shares. I showed a number of shares yesterday, particularly some in the consumer sector, that have really accelerated higher. O'Reilly Automotive was one that immediately comes to mind. Kraft is another one. Kraft has done phenomenally well. It's rallied from, I think, somewhere in the region of 53 to about 58 in the last couple of weeks. It's beginning to get overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. Now, this has been a remarkably consistent trend. Every time it's become overextended, it's held on to the majority of its gains. It's had a ranging consolidation and allowed the EMA to catch up. That remains the most likely scenario in this case as well. Then, if you look at the at a share like Bristol-Myers Squibb, a Squibb, that is also in a consistent trend. It had become overextended relative to the MA, posted a rather large downward dynamic yesterday. It does suggest that that one is probably going to move into a process of mean reversion in here once more. But both of these trends are quite consistent. They have had become a little bit overbought in the short term, but they're leading shares. Bristol-Myers Squibb is notable because it's breaking out of a multi-year base. Big Pharma generally is in a pretty similar situation. Merck is another share that has done very well of late. Both Bristol-Myers Squibb and GlaxoSmithKline look like they're going to pull back and consolidate in here. If you look at the commodity markets, gold finished out today down $2.50. It's at $1,657. It's been really very steady over the last couple of weeks. It's been eking out advances on a practically daily basis. The rather small advances that it's been putting in has made the short-term advance look a little bit stretched. It really does need dynamics, and it probably is now currently in need of a little bit of a pause in the consolidation. It would, if it were to put in a higher reaction low, that would be really quite positive. Silver was stronger today by about 3 cents, so really quite quite steady today. Platinum was relatively unchanged as well, and palladium was up by nearly $10. It was a positive day right across the industrial metal sector. The nickel market was stronger by over $700, and that's breaking out of a short-term range in here. The lead market has also been really quite resurgent over the last couple of days. Excuse me, I just need to cough. Sorry about that. When we look at the industrial metal complex, it had had one of the larger declines. It has demonstrated a high degree of commonality in that most of these industrial metals have found at least short-term support. They have every sign that demand is beginning to return to dominance in here. aluminium has been one of the leaders on the upside over the last couple of weeks, and copper is back up to $3.81 in that COMEX contract. It was up 6 in here today. This was also a positive day in grains and beans, where corn was up 12, wheat was up 13, and soybeans up 13 as well. And oil was as high as 102 on the West Texas Intermediate intraday, but actually finished out the day in negative territory. It's been ranging in this region of $100 for the last couple of weeks. A breakout in either direction would give us a bit more confidence on just where it's going to go. I think the risks are a bit skewed to the upside in here. Brent crude finished out the day up 80 cents. It's also been consolidating here in the region of the progression of lower to equal rally highs. That downtrend since April has lost momentum, and it's been consolidating in the region of the 200-day moving average. So it really does need to break down out of that range to suggest that we're going to see much lower oil prices in here, and the geopolitical situation as well as the supply situation are not currently in that in favor of that. The reformulated gasoline price has also broken out of a 8 to 9 month downtrend. It's broken the progression of lower rally highs. That does suggest that we're going to see some additional upside there. As I mentioned, the US dollar has been weakening. It was weaker today against the euro by a full cent. So we're definitely seeing some short covering going on in the euro here. This is the largest rally we've seen in a while. The euro was really quite overextended by just about any measure and against the vast majority of currencies. And it has definitely caught some relief in here. Now, it's not easy to make a long-term bullish case for the euro, but it was very oversold, and it does look like it's going to go higher in here. It has every chance of closing the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. That's potentially an additional 5 cents, and that might be a big ask. But nobody was really anticipating that the euro was going to really rally in here, and it has put in a really quite an impressive week so far. What we are seeing is a more concerted effort by major institutions to support the European market. The ECB has issued 450 billion euros of loans to the banking sector. That created an arbitrage because the ECB is also out there buying bonds, buying sovereign bonds. It's also just given the European banks a big wad of cash. It's created an arbitrage in the sovereign market so that banks can go out and buy comparatively highly rated sovereign bonds, post them as collateral at the ECB, and then take out additional loans and go out and buy even more bonds. So we've seen a fairly large decline in the spreads between some of those peripheral bonds and German bunds. German bunds today were down by almost a full point. US treasuries were down by 1.5 points. All of those sovereign bonds have been ranging for the last 3 or 4 months. They're right at the upper side of the range. We're starting to see downward dynamics. There's every chance that they're going to go back down and at least test the lower side of their ranges. When we look at where the euro is going, the Greeks and their creditors are currently engaged in brinksmanship. Obviously, the creditors want to get as much money back as they can. They also know that Greece doesn't have a terrible amount of it. What most people are worried about is contagion. So you have the ECB out there actively buying bonds, lending large amounts of money to the financial sector. The Fed is basically making as many dollars available via the swap route as are needed. The IMF is talking about adding an extra $500 billion to its war chest. The Chinese economic situation has slowed down. They have plenty of room to moderate their monetary policy. And when one looks at the broader world, particularly in Asia and Latin America and Australasia, a number of those countries have been raising interest rates for the last few years. They're now into a cycle where they're beginning to lower them. So there is a great deal of potential for additional liquidity to hit these markets. And if we've learned one lesson over the last 3 or 4 years, it's that liquidity doesn't stay where it's created. It funnels down to the most productive assets. Right now, what investors are really interested in are investments that have a comparatively high yield or have security or offer an avenue for investing in the growth of the global consumer. That's where the real relative strength is. Whereas you've seen some of those shares become really quite overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. They're more likely than not at this stage to pull back and move into a period of reversion towards the mean. And that would set them up for the next favorable buying opportunity. In the meantime, we remain the most likely scenario is that this is a cyclical bull market for stocks and potentially for some commodities, particularly those industrial metals. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.